Turn to Romans chapter 16. This is our ninth lesson now in prophecy. Those of you that are new on Wednesday night, we've been studying prophecy. And this is the ninth lesson in that. Prophecy, of course, is history told beforehand by the Lord, as we will see tonight. Romans 16, I want to just look at a couple verses here before we actually get to the text for tonight, 17 through 19. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 19 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." That verse tells us that doctrine is important. Doctrine is important. It's so important we ought to avoid people who teach things and cause divisions and offenses. That word mark literally means to put a bullseye on their back. Keep an eye on them. Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now, in the next two verses, you're going to see the word simple, and they're the only time they're ever used in the Bible. It says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." I want you to notice that the simple are deceived very easily. They are deceived very easily through good words and fair speeches. Just somebody who can speak in a flowery way or what appears to be an intelligent way. And this is like the word simpleton. There used to be an old word in the English language, a simpleton. That meant somebody that wasn't very smart and was easily deceived, easily persuaded, easily led away. As P.T. Barnum used to say, there's a fool born every minute. "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil." Here's the second time the word simple is used in the New Testament, and the only other time. It says we should be simple concerning evil. So that means there we shouldn't know much about evil. We shouldn't know much about evil. Now tonight, I want to look in prophecy, and the subject is demonic activity in the latter times. Demonic activity in the latter times. And we'll get to our text here in just a minute. But as I bring this message tonight, it's October the 31st, 2007. You know what that means? It means it's Halloween night. It's a good place to be is in church. Tonight as we meet here, there are literally millions of children walking around our country, and that's no exaggeration, trick-or-treating. And let's be honest, most of this is just done in innocency. They have no evil intentions whatsoever. They're just having traditional fun. Although we don't, as believers, condone that. We understand that most are just out there in innocency, and their parents are out there in innocency. They're dressing up, they're having fun, they're collecting candy and so on. But there are also tonight in our country other activities on the darkest of the dark side of the world going on too. And it's a very, very evil day in our history. Now concerning that kind of evil, the Bible says we ought to be simple. We ought not to be looking into evil. You don't have to study witchcraft. You don't have to study Satan worship. You don't have to study, what goes on in Satanism. And you don't have to go down to Lilydale and hang around there and see what all the spiritualism is. There's an old saying, you don't have to lift the lid up on a sewer to know that it stinks inside. It's the same thing with evil. You don't have to investigate everything that is evil. It says, be simple concerning evil, but it says in verse number 19, be wise unto that which is good. Know everything you can about something that's good, but be simple concerning evil. And so We have Halloween going on tonight. When most people think of Halloween, they think of it as satanic and demonic and all kinds of ghosts and goblins and witches and potions and hexes and all kinds of things on the dark side of the world and human sacrifices and animal sacrifices and kidnappings and that type thing. And a lot of people equate that with demonic activity, all that ghoulish stuff and the horrific horror movies on television that I don't know how these minds even invent that stuff, and we ought not to be watching it. But I want to submit to you tonight that there is a much more deceptive and a deceitful and deceptive work of demons going on in the world tonight than the smoke screen of Halloween. That's what Halloween is, just a smoke screen for us to think, well, you know, this is demonic stuff, this ugly, ew, yucky costumes and skulls and bones and so on. And I think Satan has maybe kind of created that in our society, so that's what people think of when they think of demonic activity. And that's just a smoke screen for us to see what real demonic activity is. And I want to look at that tonight, and I think one of the best texts is in 1 Timothy, if you'll turn there in chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want to show you, I think, what some real demonic activity is going on in our world. And I want to make 3 points about it this evening. There'll be simple points. Again, it's not something we need to look deeply into. But it says here in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now verse 1 here is much more deep than Halloween. Halloween is surface stuff. This is the deep stuff about demonic activities. And I want you to notice the phrase, "the latter times." The latter times, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh." Notice the word Spirit has a capital S. That's referring to the Holy Spirit. That is, God himself is speaking here in verse 1. The Holy Spirit speaks. Many are confused about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, thinking that he just leads people to do bizarre things like rolling around in the aisles and speaking in tongues and all kinds of strange, bizarre activity. No, not at all. The Holy Spirit is God, and he speaks. You can read through the book of Acts, for instance, and actually see when he was speaking to the church that he spoke in words that were very coherent and easy to be followed. Now, notice here he speaks expressly. This is the only place in the Bible you'll read the word expressly. It's never used anywhere else in the Old or New Testament, whether in the English form or the Greek form. And it is just this one text here where it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." What that means is that he's using a great deal of expression. He is saying this very, very passionately. You've probably all heard preachers or teachers or prayers teach or preach or pray in some boring, monotonous monotone. And you tend to question the sincerity of their speech. But when you get someone up there who's preaching or teaching with passion, or you're in a prayer meeting and there's some man or some woman who's praying with passion, you tend to say, you know, this person really believes what they're saying. They're really expressing something that's very important to them here. And I want to encourage those of you that are preachers in whatever capacity or teachers to use some passion. Whether it's a man or a woman in a Sunday school class or a man preaching in some ministry, You know, you need to have some passion if you're going to convince some people. And those of you, when you go to prayer meeting, it's time for us to can these dead, dry, boring prayers and start having some passion in our prayer, some fervency. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You take a kid and he says, "Dad, can we go to McDonald's?" And his dad's probably not going to even think about it. Boy, that kid starts saying, "Hey, Dad, can we go to McDonald's? Ha, ha, please, can we? Ha, ha, Dad, please, please, can we? Please, Dad, can we go to McDonald's? Come on, they're having a sale. Come on, Dad, please, can we go to McDonald's?" It's awful hard for the dad to say no to that. That's the same thing about prayer. We're taught that in James 5 and verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So please, if you're not going to pray fervently, don't come to our prayer meetings and kill them. You have no right to kill our prayer meetings. Don't kill your Sunday school classes. Don't kill preaching time by being boring. Anyway, let me get back to this. The Holy Spirit here is speaking expressly. It's the only time it's used in the Bible with great expression. He's saying, listen, in the latter times, something's going to happen. We live in the latter times. This is prophecy right here. According to Usher's chronology and Scofield's Bible, this book was written in 65 AD. So 1942 years ago, the Holy Spirit was speaking expressly with expression. And he's saying, listen, I don't want you to miss this right here. In the last days, some of you children of God, some of the saved in the church are going to depart from the faith. This is taught also back in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 3. When before the revelation of the Antichrist takes place in the world, it says there will be a great falling away, which is a Greek word, apostasia, whereby we get the English word apostasy. And I'm going to give you some examples here in a minute of apostasy, I think, that we see there. There is a great, great falling away today in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ from sound doctrine. And notice, it's going to get so bad, and the demons are going to be so good at it by this time, they'll have had so much practice, that in the latter times, some of the believers in Christ and the Bible shall depart from the faith, giving heed or paying attention to, notice, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I said tonight there's more diabolical and deceptive work that the demons are busy doing in our world than this facade or smokescreen of Halloween, which will go away by tomorrow. Much more diabolical. And number one, write this down, the demons are seducing spirits. The demons are seducing spirits. I want to say three things about demons and thus showing their activity in, as it says here in verse 1, the latter times. Number one, they will be seducing spirits. These three activities I'm going to give you are not associated with Halloween, but they ought to concern us. There has been a great departure in the faith. There are very few anymore that are called fundamentalists or even afraid of it, where all the word means is by the book. Nothing wrong with being a fundamentalist. As I said before, the only ones I trust are fundamentalists. When I get on an airplane, I want the pilot to be a fundamentalist. I want him to go by the book. You know, I don't want them to say, "Hey, you know, we're not flying at 35,000 feet today. I think we're just going to skim the trees. I want to try something new." No, I want a fundamentalist pilot. I want a fundamentalist doctor. I don't want to go and say some guy and say, "Hey, you know, I'm going to try something new on you. I don't know if this has worked. I know the old proven ways work, but I'm going to try something new on you." I don't want that. I want my pilot to be a fundamentalist. I want the engineers around here to be fundamentalists, amen? I want them to put up the bridges and overpasses by the book. I don't want them to say, "You know, I don't think we need all these supports." You know, that's so old-fashioned. putting all these supports under these bridges. No, I want them to be by the book. You know, it ought to be the same way for our pastors. You want everyone in your life to be a fundamentalist, someone by the book. It ought to be the same way for the pastors. You ought to say, I want my pastor to be a fundamentalist. By the book. Not an evangelical. But a fundamentalist. Those who leave fundamentalism and no longer fight and contend for the faith become evangelicals. Evangelicals ultimately become ecumenicalists. And ecumenicalists ultimately, at least in practice, become Unitarians. We're all saved. Doesn't matter who you are, what religion, we all go to heaven. No matter what you call God, just be sincere. That's the progression of apostasy. And that's how it is today. We should not give heed to these seducing spirits. They deceive by seduction. Now, what does that mean? They deceive, they seduce, they are seducing spirits. That means they deceive by seduction, playing on the emotions of human beings, which are often very weak, especially in this day and age of characterless people who are just emotional. Even when it comes to elections and stuff. Well, why are you voting for this man or this woman or whatever? I don't know. I just feel like, I like him. I like her or whatever. Now, when it comes to seduction in the Bible, it doesn't just apply to the sensual. But there's many areas where seduction can be used to deceive many, such as music and also in doctrine. It is the doctrine that permeates our society that if it feels good, just do it. And how can something be so wrong if it feels so right? The church today is being seduced by the world. We're trying to be like the world. This seduction really began to become very strong in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s with the birth of CCM. Which is abbreviations for the contemporary Christian music, and I don't even like saying that because what they're referring to there is rock music, and there's no such thing as a Christian rock. No such thing as Christian rock music. And I believe that began that the seducing spirits helped to trigger the last time by infiltrating the music of the church, because music outside of the Holy Spirit is one of the most powerful mediums that we must deal with. And many are seduced by it. They're seduced by the rhythm. They're seduced by the beat. They're seduced by the feeling that it gives them. It makes them feel good. And so many in our churches are looking for feel-good churches. I can't tell you how many times over the years people have come to this church and left it. No complaints about the preaching or teaching, but their complaints were about the music. Well, we're just looking for a church more where they worship and praise the Lord in. I challenge you to look at over 200 references of the word worship and find me one time where it's ever tied to music. I've gone through every one of them in the Bible, one by one. Over 200 references to worship in the Bible. Find one that's ever tied to music. You see, a lot of things will make you feel good, but it doesn't mean it's right. Alcohol will make you feel good. Doesn't mean it's right. Drugs will make you feel good. Doesn't mean it's right. Music will make you feel good. And pornography will make some feel good. And fornication will make some feel good. And dating will make some feel good. But it doesn't mean it's right. There's going to be a lot of seduction in the last days. Demons are seducers, catering to human emotion, to human feeling. We see that especially in the sensual. You can't turn on a television or a radio without having something very quickly come up that is perverse. But this seduction is becoming very, very strong in the last days and is infiltrating the church. There's many examples of it. I just got a couple here. Back when CCM started, the number one Christian artist, and I to be honest with you, I hate that phrase, Christian artist. I don't see that office in the Bible. But one of the most famous was Amy Grant. And there's so much. I mean, Brother Frank, he plopped a stack of papers about that thick on my desk one day about CCM. And the more I read it, and the more I read the lyrics and the backgrounds of these people and these groups that show up at Kingdom Bound and so on and so forth, the sicker I got. And this is just one about Amy Grant, and it talks about her and Michael Smith. And their working, or they're singing rather, and it's union with Satanism. And I don't have time to park on this much, but it shows Amy Grant here. Back in 1985, given the satanic salute, which she does several times in her concerts, which is like this. And everyone knows that. You look at any picture of a rock concert and you'll see people going like that. Satanic salute. It's the picture of the goat's head. Dressed in red with a pentagram heart, or hexagram heart, star rather, on her palms. The hexagram is the most powerful and evil sign in Satanism and all the occult world. The hexagram is used mainly in witchcraft to summon demons from the underworld. The word hex, which means to place a curse on someone, originated from this sign. Now, you know, it's not the first time this has been a problem in the church. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, which was the most messed up church we know of in the New Testament, except maybe Laodicea might have been just as bad. But he said to them in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? In verse number 20, he says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. And so there was a problem in the church back then of people trying to mix the two. And I believe this CCM has tried to do that, tried to mix the satanic with the Christian. It's a very, very powerful medium. And I don't have time to read all this. The seducing spirits minister on the emotional level. I got an article here from a Chinese Christian about the so-called revival in South Korea, where supposedly 30% of South Korea has been converted to Christ since the 1960s. And this article really is diving into these so-called conversions and talking about what a mess Korea has become as a result of it, rather than a better place to live. For instance, it says since that time in 1980, the divorce rate was 5.9% in Korea. Now it's 35.9%, and a lot of those are among the so-called believers. But this was their conclusion. The Christianity boom in South Korea began in the 1960s and reached a climax in the 1990s, and produced a 30% Christian population in South Korea. Yet this impressive growth in Christianity in South Korea has been analyzed as no more than a feverish cult. This negative criticism could be well justified if a religious cult is defined as a religion converting people on an emotional level. And then it says the following information is compiled from excerpts from various articles published on the phenomenal growth of Christianity, of course, quote unquote. It talks about the Presbyterians, the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, the Baptists, the Catholics. and so on and so forth. And they're beginning to see the decline of this in Korea, that it's wearing off, and that these converts, a lot of them, were just simply converted on the emotional level. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds like seducing spirits, which minister on the emotional level. They get people to be very emotional. You know, religion can be very emotional. You can have a very emotional religious experience that has nothing to do with conversion. You can cry and you can weep tears and you can feel like a million bucks. This is especially happening among the charismatic movement and the Pentecostal movement, where people are having very deep emotional experiences but never being converted to Christ. And pretty soon the emotion wears off. And let me ask you something. What's the chances of ever seeing them really get saved after that? After they say, I've tried that and it failed. You see how powerful that is? I've met people like that who were in the charismatic movement. I grew up with one. I remember he ended up being an atheist, ultimately. And he was strange. There was something. He was always talking about Jesus and Jesus and wearing a big wood cross around his neck and having hair halfway down his back and so on and so forth. And I remember going to high school with him, and there was just something different about the spirit he had compared to what I had. We just couldn't have fellowship with each other. Pretty soon that thing wore off, and he went into agnosticism and finally concluded there was no God. I don't know what he experienced, and that's just one experience, but there's so many that have gotten involved in extremely deep emotional religious experiences that have never seen conversion. I remember trying to win one lady to Christ, and I couldn't. She told me about how I asked her if she'd ever been saved, ever been converted, and I tried to win her to Christ, and she always went back to an experience where she was out in the mountains one time in Colorado, and she got out of her car in the morning, and the sun came over the mountains, and she said, I just felt so close to God that day. And there was a big difference between that experience and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Pretty big difference between that. And there are a lot of people who've seen visions, they've experienced miracles, they've had times where they've cheered. I remember a Mormon girl stopping by our booth at the Erie County Fair and just streams pouring down her face out of Niagara Falls. Like Niagara Falls, she was just convinced. She said, no, you're wrong. I've become a Mormon. I found the truth. Can I bring you the Book of Mormon? Can I bring you literature? I never saw a girl so emotional in what she believed, trying to get me converted. Religion can be very emotional. I think I know who's behind it. Because in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. The seducing spirits don't mind if you have a very emotional religious experience. They just don't want you to have a spiritual rebirth. Then number two, the demons are teachers. It says in our verse, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. See, you're not going to get this from Halloween. This word doctrines means to teach, to instruct, to give out precepts. Demons are not dummies. They are extremely intelligent beings. They are very organized. They are very powerful. They are very persuasive. They have had a long time to study human behavior and human thought. They have had a long time to watch the human race and note patterns, especially emotional responses. And as a result, they have invented many doctrines, that is, many teachings, and twisted many scriptures to deceive people into emotional responses and make them believe that those teachings are truth based on emotion. We can all think of some. I'll throw some at you here, and you can probably think of more. But I'm going to give you some statements here that are very, very emotional. And based on normal emotional response, these all sound right. But there's a problem. Every one of these is going to be wrong. Here's one. A loving God would never send any one of his creatures to hell. What's your human emotional response to that? Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that makes sense. Why would he make us and then throw us in hell forever? He's going to throw a lot of people in hell. The majority. Here's another one. Well, we're all God's children. That's not true. You must be born again. The book of Galatians says, now are ye the children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. What's the emotional response to that? Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can't take sincere Hindus or Muslims or Mormons or something. God can't fault them, can he? God wants you to be happy. A lot of people live by that one. That's a doctrine of the devil. God wants you to be happy. No, God wants you to be holy. And sometimes it takes a whole lot of unhappiness to get to holiness. It takes a lot of mourning over sin, a lot of crying, a lot of broken heart, a lot of repentance. And the joy comes in. The joy of the Lord. I've heard people quit their marriage that way. I've heard them quit their marriage that way. Well, I just know God wants me to be happy. Where did that doctrine come from? Not the Bible. It doesn't matter what religion you belong in. They're all the same God. Here's another one. Follow your heart. The book of Proverbs says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Just do the best you can and you'll go to heaven. What if our best isn't good enough? There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none to do with good, no, not one. We're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Have your baby baptized, and it'll wash away original sin. I was at a funeral one time where I heard a Methodist minister three times say that in a sermon, that the deceased became a child of God when they had been baptized as an infant. That made everybody there feel good. Well, you hang around funeral parlors nowadays and you wonder if anyone ever goes to hell anymore. You stand around the casket, what do you hear? Well, he's in a better place now. His suffering is over. No, he may be in the worst place he ever never dreamed of. His suffering is just beginning. He hadn't been saved. Now, everything I just said is not popular. But it's based on truth. And these doctrines, these demonic teachers have had the chance to go before me and to work on human emotion. And I can't believe, you know, in my years as a pastor, the debates that I've had with believers over some of the things I've just said. Believers. You can't possibly think God's going to send everyone to hell that's not saved, do you? Believers. I have to believe that. God has said it in his word. I can't change his word. You can't believe Jesus is the only way. These people are just as sincere as we are. Hey, some of them are more sincere than we are. But the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. And third of all, demons are miracle workers. Demons are miracle workers. Number one, demons are seducers. Number two, demons are teachers. And number three, demons are miracle workers. In Revelation 16 and verse 14, I'll close with this. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. I want you to notice the first part of that verse. It says in verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles. This is not taught in the smokescreen of Halloween, but this is demonic activity in the latter times, miracle working. Boy, you know, the devils who've had such a head start on studying the human race just know that if you can pull off a miracle, very few people will question it. If you can do something for somebody, let somebody see something, let somebody have a vision, let somebody hear a voice maybe from their past at a seance or somebody experience something. I was talking to a lady just recently, trying to win her to Christ, and she told me about how she went to heaven three times. And I was kind to her, but I said, was this the time, did this happen when you were in the hospital? And she said, yes. I said, okay. I didn't criticize her or anything. I just knew she was so doped up at the time. I'd go to heaven three times. I tried to get her away from that experience to accept Christ as her Savior. But I fear she has her confidence in that experience. All doped up in ICU at a hospital. I went to heaven three times. I don't know what she did. But there are people, look, there's going to be, don't be deceived by miracles. Don't think it's always of God. There are unsaved people. There are even unsaved people who use the name of Jesus to do miracles. This is why our Lord taught in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He goes on to say, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And listen to this. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Bible, Jesus himself said, look, there's going to be a lot of people preaching in my name. There's going to be a lot of people casting out devils in my name. There's going to be a lot of people doing many wonderful works in my name that I have never known them. They've never been born again. They have never been adopted into my family by a spiritual birth. They are unsaved people using the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. There's power in the name of Jesus that even an unsaved person can do it to do miracles. Jesus said so. So we must be on guard that we don't just swallow these miracles that are taking place on this earth, hook, line, and sinker, as necessarily coming from God. Look, let me just illustrate in closing. I know it's been a while tonight, but there was a man who walked with Jesus named Judas Iscariot. In John chapter 6 and verse 70, Jesus said this, "Have not I chosen 12? But one of you is a devil." One of them had a demon. And you know something about it? I studied this thing out as best I could. Maybe you can show me that's something I'm missing. But not one of the other 11 suspected Judas Iscariot. Not one of the 11 said, "I know who that is. That's Judas." You see, tonight, Halloween night, it's being reinforced in the minds of our country that demonic activity is skulls and bones and witches and hexes and potions and ghoulish monsters and so on and so forth. That's being just spread in the mind that this is, you know, witchcraft. This is demonic activity. I'll tell you what demonic activity is. Sometimes he's the best dressed clergyman in your town. That's demonic activity. Sometimes he's the friendliest clergyman in your town. Sometimes he's the best dressed professor at the university. Or the nicest teacher in the high school. Or the reverend or the priest or the pastor of some local church. He's the guy everyone adores in some church and they call him reverend and he pats the little kids on the head and he says, "You just do your best now, sonny, and you'll go to heaven." That's demonic activity. Not one of them knew it was Judas till after he hung himself. Not even when Jesus gave him the sop and the devil entered into him and he went out and he betrayed him. Not even then did they understand why Judas was leaving the upper room. Not even then did they. They, in fact, the Bible says they thought he told him to go give something to the poor or buy something for the feast that was coming up because he was the treasurer. He held the bag. Even at that moment, not one of them said, "There's something wrong with Judas Iscariot." See, we're talking about prophecy tonight. We're talking about demonic activity in the latter times. And I want to encourage you to push through that smoke screen of Halloween tonight. And the Bible says, try the spirits whether they be of God. There's only one way to try them, and that's right here. You got to know this book in this day and age. You got to be able to take these seducing spirits, these demons that are seducers, these demons that are teachers, and these demons that are miracle workers. And face it, who do they work through mostly? Human beings. You got to say, wait a minute, is this right according to the Bible? Is this right according to the Bible? Is this right according to the Bible? Try the spirits. It says the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. They'll be subject to the Bible. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we pray for our country. Lord, none of us, I think, here enjoy what's going on out in our country tonight, this emphasis on evil. And I'm sure there's very dark things going on tonight, Lord, in this world. The very darkest side of Satan. But your word also says that it's no marvel that Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Therefore, it's no strange thing that his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They use the name of Jesus. They do miracles in the name of Jesus. They prophesy in the name of Jesus. They do many wonderful works. They seduce in the name of Jesus. They misuse your wonderful name. They misuse your wonderful word. So Lord, help us tonight. I pray that each one of us as believers would get in the book and not be deceived by demonic seducers, demonic teachers, or demonic miracle workers that you said expressly would be in the world in the latter times. Help us to stick to the fundamental doctrines of the faith and never to move. To be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.